Psalms 23, very familiar. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not, I have all that I need." I almost went to the King James there. "He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name." Verse 4, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close behind me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of mine enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray. Father, we thank you today, Lord. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for our mothers, our moms, Lord. They are precious to us, our wives. Lord, we honor them and we praise you and thank you for them, Lord. Touch this night, Lord. Touch this message, Lord. I pray that you would use me, Lord. Just help me to preach your word, Lord. Touch my lips of clay, Lord. Father, open our ears, our hearts, our minds. Help us to receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I love how the Lord works. As I study preparing for this sermon, situated here. I was praying and had a thought and was going this direction. And a lot of times when I get a sermon together, especially if it's on Sunday night, you know, I kind of test the Lord a little bit. I say, "Lord, if this is really what you want me to preach, you know, maybe you could have a song, have Brother Chris play a song, something, you know. You ever do that, Pastor? Just some kind of confirmation." Lo and behold, he played the song that I was listening to last night. "The Lord is my shepherd." I don't know if that's the name of it, but he played that. I don't even know if he had it on the schedule. And so the Lord confirmed it there. And then the psalm will all go with Jehovah Jireh on it. Yes. The Lord's good, amen?
Amen. Yes, he is.
I want to talk to you tonight about 23. Bear with me for a little bit. 23. Anybody have a favorite number tonight? Come on.
Seven.
He's got a favorite number. We all maybe played sports. Whatever it was, we all have a favorite number. Maybe it's our birthday. I was born on November 19th. I like the number 19. Maybe you like the number 7. God's numbers. A lot of people like God's numbers. My dad loved number 3. Dale Earnhardt was his favorite race car driver. If you like sports, you gravitate towards your favorite ball players. I like 3. I like number 3. My dad liked that. I just like that number. Number 7, I've heard pastors say that. It's God's perfect number. I've heard it's been said. And number 23 is also one of my favorite numbers. Back when I was a teenager, number 23 was worn by several famous athletes. There was a guy by the name of Brian Sandberg. And I hope Brother Tom had been here tonight because he didn't know exactly who I was talking about. Played for Chicago Cubs back in the early 90s. And he went crazy hitting a bunch of home runs. And he was eventually elected into the Hall of Fame in 2005. So if you were growing up back then, if you were alive back then, Chicago Cubs were always on TV on WGN. And Ryan Sandberg was number 23, and you've seen him all the time. My favorite baseball team is no secret, the Atlanta Braves. Sorry, Cardinal fans, but that's God's team, I'm pretty sure. The Braves dominated the 1990s, and my favorite player on that team was David Justice, who wore number 23. In fact, I was still playing Babe Ruth baseball back then, about 13 and 14, 15 years old. I switched my number to 23 because I liked it so much. And the rest of my baseball career, which wasn't very long, I wore that number. You're supposed to laugh at that. It lasted like 2 years. There was another famous athlete during that time period. Maybe you've heard of him. He was only the GOAT, the greatest of all time. Michael Jordan. Sorry if you're a LeBron James fan, but there's no comparison. Michael Jordan, number 23, wore that. So the number 23 resonates with my teenage years very, very much. And this day, it's still one of my favorite numbers. But there is another reason I love the number 23, and that's Psalm 23. And it's one of the most quoted chapters in the Bible for many of us. We know it by heart, amen?
Amen.
And it's still worth reading over and over. And sometimes I think we know it so much that we just, when we go through the Psalms and we read it, we just kind of skim over it because we've heard it from the time, if we've grown up in Sunday school, we've heard it from the time we were small till now. And sometimes, and I'm guilty of that, just running through it and not even really breaking it down. But with the help of the Lord tonight, I want to just break it down in just a few verses. It's one of David's greatest songs. David was a great psalmist, amen? He wrote over 150 psalms. And so this one, I think, tonight is his greatest, you know, his greatest hits. He was a musician, right? If he was in today's modern day, he would have a bunch of records, and this would be number one, I think, of all time. It's simple, but it's profound. With the Lord's help, let's break it down. Let's first start at Psalms 23:1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need." That right there, that opening statement is powerful, church. "I shall not want" is what King James says. When we have the Lord as our shepherd, we don't need anything else, you know it?
Right.
This world tries to tell us that we need all kinds of things to get by. But all we need is the Lord, amen? We don't need the latest modern gadget or the newest car or the great house that looks so awesome on the lake or wherever it may be. All we need is the Lord.
Yes.
He's our shepherd. And David starts off this psalm saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need." When we have Jesus, the good shepherd, we have all that we need. David knew the importance of a shepherd because he was one before. He became king.
Yeah.
You see, David was a shepherd boy, and he was raised to be a shepherd boy, and he became a shepherd before he even went out to slay Goliath. He knew exactly what it was to be a shepherd.
Yes.
He knew that a shepherd watches over his flock 24 hours a day. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 that the shepherds were at night watching the flock by night. They were waiting and anticipating the sheep. They were watching over the sheep. They were doing their duty. They were doing their job. And David knew this. Your Heavenly Father never sleeps, nor does He slumber tonight, church.
Yes,
He watches over His children at all times, no matter the situation.
Yes.
No matter the stormy night or the dark night, the Lord is our shepherd. He's watching over us, and then we have all that we need tonight.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. He's our provider. In Genesis chapter 22, we read about God testing Abraham's faith. And man, I wish I had the faith of Abraham tonight, church.
Yeah.
God came along at this point in this chapter, and Abraham had his son Isaac. But if we back up a few years, God had promised Abraham and Sarah that they would have a child. And Abraham would be the father of many nations, and he would be a father of a nation, Israel. And his seed would be as the sand of the seashore. But it took a long time to get there. Amen?
Yes, sir.
The man spent most of his adult life clinging to the promise that God had told him that he would be a father of many nations. And it took until he's almost 100 years old. And he finally got that son. And then here comes God. And he tests him right off the bat, it seems like.
Right.
I mean, how many of us would say, no? God said, okay, you're going to have a son. And it takes several years of waiting. And you have that son. The promise. And then God says, okay, I want you to go sacrifice. Right. How many of us, if we're honest, would just say, nope.
Yeah.
Nope, God. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Go take that person over there, son. Nope. If we're honest tonight, we say, God, you've already waited. It's already took too long for the promise of a son. And now you want me to sacrifice him. Are you crazy? That's what we're thinking, right? We don't say it to God, but that's what we think.
Mm-hmm.
God, are you crazy? But Abraham just saddled up his donkey, church, the Bible says, and he began riding toward Mount Moriah, where God had told him to go. He didn't question God. He just got up the next morning. He grabbed a couple servants. He grabbed Isaac, and he saddled his donkey. That could be a sermon right there. Sometimes we just got to saddle the donkey and obey God. Amen?
That's right.
And go in the direction God tells us to go.
That's good, Brother. Yes.
Either this man was crazy, Abraham, or he knew something we didn't. Let's look at Genesis 22, 5. Chapter 22, verse 5. It says, Abraham said, "Stay here with the donkey." Abraham told the servants, "The boy and I will travel a little further, and we will worship there, and then we will come right back." Did you catch anything out of that?
Yeah.
The last part. We will worship there, and then we will come right back. You see, Abraham knew that he could trust God.
Yeah.
He knew that whatever God was doing, God was going to be faithful. And God is faithful.
Yes.
And he knew that if we're going to leave with the boy, I'm coming back with the boy.
Yes.
Even though God told him to go sacrifice him, he knew God. He trusted God tonight, church.
Yes.
Again, is he crazy? No, Abraham had a relationship with God.
Yes.
He knew that he was his provider.
Yeah.
He knew that God would do what he said he would do. And so he was obedient. It says in verse 14, Abraham named the place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. So we know the story of what happened. They went up the Mount Moriah, and as they got ready, they bound up, they made the sacrifice, they bound up Isaac on the sacrifice, and as Abraham got ready to take out the knife to sacrifice Isaac, we know that there was God sent an angel to stop him, and then he looked over, and there was a ram in the thicket.
Yes, sir.
And then Abraham said this in verse 14. He said, Abraham named the place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide.
Will provide.
Which the Hebrew word means he sees. Or it's been also translated into He provides. So church, the Lord sees us, He knows us, and He provides all that we have need of.
Yes,
think about this. As Abraham and Isaac were going up one side of the mountain, the ram was coming up the other side.
Yeah.
You see, church, you didn't get that like I did. I said as Abraham was and Isaac was coming up to one side, the ram was coming up the other side. God already had the provision in the works tonight. You see, He's Jehovah Jireh. He is Jireh tonight, church. You may be going through something. You may be going through a storm. You may be going through a battle. And you don't know where your provision is. But God is Jehovah Jireh. He will provide. It may not be what we want or what we think. But He has a provision for us tonight. The provision's already in motion because He is Jireh. He's more than enough tonight, church. He's more than enough.
Yes, sir.
According to an article in the USA Today, 1,500 sheep fell off a cliff to their deaths in Turkey in 2005. One sheep fell, so the others followed suit and jumped. In the end, 450 sheep died. The ones that survived only lived because they were cushioned by landing on top of their fellow herd members. Sheep are pretty stupid, huh? That's the moral of the story. No, just kidding. That wool is soft. But we refer to, oftentimes in the Bible, as sheep. And sheep seem like they are dumb sometimes. What's God saying?
Come on.
Sheep need a shepherd to protect them. Because we kind of have a tendency to follow the crowd, amen?
Nice.
And be led astray. Listen to what a shepherd does. Because sheep tend to stray and will also follow wherever they are led. Shepherds often have to discipline lambs that would stray. And I know you've heard this. Some people have heard this. But a shepherd will use his rod oftentimes to break a leg of a lamb. He'll take that lamb that goes astray, and he'll take it, and he'll break the leg, which seems cruel. But after he binds the break, the shepherd carries the lamb on his shoulder while the wound is healed. So the shepherd has to take the time. He disciplines the lamb. Then he puts it on his shoulder after he binds the wound, and he puts it on the shoulder, and he carries it around. And soon the lamb learns that during this healing process that the shepherd could be trusted. The lamb has to depend on the shepherd for everything, for food, for transportation,
exactly.
For protection, everything tonight, church. But once the wound is completely healed, the lamb will be fiercely loyal to the shepherd, and he won't stray from the shepherd's leading. You see, sometimes tonight, church, the Lord who is our shepherd, He has to discipline us. He has to break us. He has to bring discipline upon our lives. But it's not because He's cruel or mean. It's because He loves us. Just like that shepherd knows that if he lets that sheep continue to stray, that sheep will be lost,
yeah.
Go off a cliff, or get into something that it's not supposed to be. But when He gently corrects us, He gently takes us and heals us, and binds our wounds, and carries us on our shoulders. Church, when we get closer to the Father, we can trust the Father. Because we can trust Him tonight. The enemy says you can't trust Him. But church, we can trust Him because He is faithful. Amen? He's our provider. He's Jehovah Jireh.
Yes, sir.
It sounds like our father. David knew what shepherding was all about. So he describes, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. He knew exactly what a shepherd does. Mm-hmm. When he says, the Lord is my shepherd, He is enough tonight, church.
Yes,
He's
sir.
Our shepherd. He's enough. We don't need anything else tonight.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let's look at verse 2. It says, He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. When we are in the middle of a battle, when the waves are flooding into the boat, He not only gives us peace, but church, He restores our soul, amen?
Yeah.
In the middle of a storm, when all things look like there's no hope, when we're wore out and we're weary, the Bible says He leads us beside still waters,
yeah.
Amen? I picture just a still brook or a still lake with mountains, Brother Chris, the high snow-capped mountains where you can see the reflection from the lake and you can't tell which is which.
Yeah.
That's what I think about in this verse, because God restores us in the middle of a storm. When we're weak, He strengthens us. Amen? When we can't go another step further, He refreshes us and He restores us. Church, we need that tonight. In the middle of a storm, in the middle of a battle. You see, the enemy likes to wear us out. He likes to wear us thin. And when we get to the point where we say we can't do it anymore, that's when God comes in and refreshes us. He fills us up. He fills that emptiness when we run out. Church, we're only human. And then we can only have so much and we run out. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm on empty, when my spiritual tank light comes on, amen? You have a gas light. Most of us have modern cars. And that gas light comes on when we run it low. Amen?
Right.
right.
My wife and daughters have a tendency to do that. But guess what? I didn't come on till he's home. And we live 15 miles from the nearest gas station. I have to tease him a little bit. That's what we do, though, church. When that light comes on, the Lord pulls us over, fills us up. Amen?
Amen.
Tells us and strengthens us.
Yes.
Psalms 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The rest of that verse will go, said, he guides me to the right path, bringing me to his name, honor to his name. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. See there in verse number 23 again, Psalms 37:23. I told you it was a good number. My steps are ordered by the shepherd. He goes before me, he goes behind me, church. Whom shall I fear? I fear nobody because the Lord is my protector, amen?
Yes.
When we walk through the dark valley, verse 4 says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close behind me. Your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me. Church, there's a fact of life tonight. If you live long enough, you're going to go through some dark valleys.
Right.
They're not pleasant. They separate the boys from the men, amen? King James says, the valley of the shadow of death. There's valleys, trials so bad that death's shadow is going to follow you around. Have you ever been through a valley like that? Yes, we have.
Yeah.
We're going in or we're going out, amen? We're either going into a storm or coming out of a storm. Notice what David says, I go through those dark places, I will not be afraid.
Right.
I will not be afraid when I have to go through the darkest nights.
Right. Yes, sir.
Amen? The Lord is with me. He's my shepherd. He's Jireh. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's my protector.
Yes.
Because your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me. David knew what a rod and staff was because those were tools that he used. A rod was a short stick, club-like stick that the shepherds used to beat off wild animals or oftentimes number the sheep or oftentimes have the sheep lead and follow a command. A staff was a long stick that had a crook in the end of it. You know what a crook is? Kind of like a question mark. This allowed the shepherd to pull back the sheep when they went astray. Because sheep are prone to wandering, and they will eat. Sometimes they will eat indiscriminately, if I said that right, about anything regardless if it's good for them or kill them. So sheep, they'll just begin to eat. So I'm told. I'm not a shepherd or in any animals, but any of you farmers that raise them know. Probably know this. I've always been told a goat will eat about anything too. But sheep will eat about anything, even if it's good for them or kill them. That kind of sounds like us tonight, church, spiritually.
Yes.
If we're left alone and the shepherd's not watching over us and we're not connected with the shepherd, we're going to go out spiritually. We'll eat and consume just about anything in our spiritual life. But the shepherd, he has his tools, and he will take that lamb when it gets off and it goes astray, or if it gets into something that it's not supposed to, he'll take that staff with the crook on the end of it and pull it back.
Yes, sir.
Or he'll use his rod. So David said when he goes through that valley shadow of death, and he has those tools, God has those tools to bring them back. Amen?
Amen.
Now here's, you're going to have to bear with me as I go to my phone notes. Verse 5 says, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing me my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. King James says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. When David is saying in this psalm, he establishes that the Lord first in the psalms. When we get at first verse, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. We've talked about that. He establishes him as his shepherd. Then he says, when I go through the darkest valley, when I go through the storms, he is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Now he comes to the point right here. David says, God's got a table. In other words, he has a plan for you, and not only for you to sit at the table, but to feast, meaning many blessings.
Yes, sir.
I know I'm sputtering a little bit here tonight, but church, the enemy's a liar. Amen?
Right.
I'm not going to let him defeat me.
Amen. You're doing good.
God's got a table. In other words, he has a plan for you.
Yes.
God's going to set you up tonight, church, even though you may be going through a storm, even though you may be going through a battle, and you don't know what the outcome's going to be. God's got a table set tonight. He's got a table ready for you. Not only does it have a seat, but it's your seat there tonight. And he's going to put you at that seat. And he's going to have you have a feast. And you're going to be able to feast tonight, church. And the last part of that is that your enemies are going to watch you eat. That's how good our God is. God's got a plan for you tonight, church. He's got a table set. Isaiah 55, 8, 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and the thoughts, my thoughts than your thoughts." It can seem a time when we are walking through the shadow of death, where we are surrounded by our enemies, that our Lord doesn't know what He's doing. It seems like sometimes when enemies coming in, right, and all hell is breaking loose, and we're just seem like we're up against the wall, we often think, "What, God, what are you doing?" But church, God's got a plan. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And I'm thankful, amen? Because I'm not very smart. But I'm thankful that His ways are higher than mine.
Yeah, amen.
Church, God has a way tonight. He knows His children. And He will provide a way. Not only is He preparing a table, He has a seat reserved for you. And you get to feast at that table. And just when you think it can't get any better, I said a while ago, He puts you right in front of your enemies. And they have to watch you eat. He blesses you tonight, church. And I'm not saying name it, claim it, grab it, blab it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that God gives you favor because God loves you tonight, church. He's your shepherd. He's your provider. He's going to provide blessings tonight, church. Amen. If you walk in His ways. Again, He is Jireh. He's more than enough. David said, "He anoints my head with oil." David knew as a shepherd that sheep needed their ears anointed to keep the bugs out. We've heard that preached before time and time again, but there were bugs that gets inside the sheep's ears, and the shepherds would anoint them with oil to keep the bugs from getting in there. We also know that kings were anointed. David was anointed by Samuel.
Right.
He knew what it was meant to be anointed tonight, church. We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost, amen, in our lives. David knew what it was like to have the anointing come upon him. Church, we need a fresh new anointing, amen? Not that the Holy Ghost is any different, but we need a revival. We need a new wave, amen?
Yes.
The anointing of the Holy Ghost to come up on our lives. Listen to what it says in Psalms 133:2. "It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments." It's talking about when Aaron, the high priest, was anointed in his sons. It says that anointing oil went down from the top of his head, from all the way down his beard, all the way down to his garments. Church, that's what I want over the Holy Ghost. I want the anointing of the Holy Ghost to saturate me. I just don't want a touch, but I want it to grow down my beard and all the way, literally speaking. Amen?
Yeah.
I want the Holy Spirit. I want His anointing.
Yes.
Just like when they anointed Aaron and his sons. We need anointing, the power of the Holy Ghost, to flow down our whole bodies. If ever there was a time of a fresh anointing in our land and in our churches, now is the time, church. Verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
Amen.
Church, His goodness and His mercy will follow us if we follow the Lord, if we stay on the right path. David says, "Goodness and mercy will follow me, will chase us the rest of our life." Church, if you follow the Lord, those things will follow. Amen? God is good.
Yes.
"Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." Psalms 23 is one of the most recognized verses for us Christians, but oftentimes we ignore it. But the next time you're facing a storm or trial or battle, church, begin to sing this back to Him. These are songs.
Yes.
David wrote these. And a lot of them we have put to music. Mm-hmm. And we sing them in worship. Sing them back to the Lord. Sing them to the enemy. Let him know where you're at tonight. Will you stand with me? God is so good, church. He's our provider. He is Jireh. I want to go back to the Jireh. I was listening to Worship Elevation in Maverick City. Anybody knows who those guys are? And they have a song called Jireh. Get a chance. It's about a 9-minute video. Check it out. I was listening to it the other day at work and just about had a Pentecostal shout right there at work. In fact, I had to look around because I had tears coming down. I'm thankful for masks. That's the only thing I like masks for. I had my ball cap on and had my mask up here. The church, He is Jireh tonight. He's more than enough. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your situation is, seems like I've been preaching on storms and battles. The church, God knows exactly what he's doing.
Yes, sir.
So if you're here tonight, if you bow your heads with me, Father, we come before you tonight. Lord, you know exactly what you're doing.
Yes, he does.
God, you know every situation. You know every person in here tonight. God, you know what they're facing. Lord, you knew the reason why you had me preach this sermon, even though I kind of wrestled with it, Lord, wondering this is the direction to go. Where I was to begin. So I just pray right now, God, you would begin to touch your people. Lord, let them know that you're Jireh, that you're the provider, Lord, our provider. Lord, we don't need anything else. God, you're all that we need. Lord, you're my shepherd. God, you go before us.